This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll catch up with Nick Sundberg of the Redskins, who's just getting off the practice field in just a few minutes. Grant and Danny, final hour of the show. Pete is in for Danny on The Fan on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. If you missed our interview with Carl Hagelin, you will want to use the radio.com rewind function to listen to it. If you miss any part of today's show, that's not a problem. You can rewind up to 24 hours with radio.com rewind. Download the app, select our station, and go back in time. I got to tell you, I love the story that Hagelin played pickup street hockey with some kids in the neighborhood on Christmas Day. Can you imagine? Being a kid, you just got some new hockey gear, you're out on the street playing a little puck, and Carl Hagelin wanders out there, who you watch on TV a few times a week and at Capital One Arena, to put on some roller skates and skate around and score some goals on you.
Peter Bondry used to do that with a friend of mine over in Crofton, too, when he was playing for the Capitals. I mean, it's got to be, I mean, anytime you get a chance to just touch base with any kind of a professional athlete, it's a big deal. But then to be able to actually go out there and kind of interact in similar to what they do, I mean, it's got to be super exciting for those kids to have that opportunity. And good on Carl Hagelin for going out there and doing it.
Right. Big night for the Capitals, though, as they've dropped 6 of 7 to the team that they're playing, who's just had their number. I mean, twice this year they've played this Columbus Blue Jackets team. And this is a team that's frisky. They played them in the playoffs a couple of years ago and just barely got by them after falling behind 2-0. They're coached by John Tortorella, who loves kind of trolling the Capitals as often as he can. He was with the Rangers playing postseason series against Washington for years. But the Caps back to work for practice today in front of a huge crowd of people at their training facility.
That's the beautiful thing, by the way, holiday. About the Capitals. I mean, there are people at their practices all the time. And it's for the most part, it's an open deal. I mean, come on in.
Well, and with it being a holiday and a lot of people aren't at work,
absolutely.
One of the ways they're spending that time is that they went down to the rink today to watch the Caps get ready. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline and welcome onto the show our buddy Nick Sundberg, who is fresh off the practice field and is one of the finalists for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Nick, Danny's out today for the holiday. Pete Medhurst is in. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, Pete, Grant, how we doing? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. So I want to know how this is working, because I didn't even know, do fans solely determine the Walter Payton Man of the Year, or is it a fraction of the votes comes from the social media push? How's this working right now?
They're two separate things. So the Walter Payton Man of the Year is decided on by the NFL. I'm sure there's a committee that looks at every nominee, and they'll pick a winner, and I guess there are three finalists at the end, and then a winner. The fan vote is something separate. So Nationwide is doing an extra $25,000 to the nominee with the most tweets and retweets with hashtag WPMOY challenge Sundberg. So it's just an extra little bump to the foundation of your choice if you win it, which would be awesome.
Walter Payton Man of the Year challenge. So WPMOY challenge and Sundberg is what you can hashtag. I've seen it all over Twitter. And last I saw, you were up to, I believe, second place in this quest.
I was. Last night was not a good night for Cam Newton got 150,000 votes yesterday somehow.
Whoa.
So he catapulted himself into first place.
All right. Well, it's hard. I mean, you're competing against a Heisman Trophy winner and the starting quarterback, but here we are. You're knocking on the door. You're right there. So are you still top three?
Yes, sir. Number
three. Good enough. We're trying to help Nick Sundberg. So what can people do then?
Anytime you see the hashtag with my name after it, you can retweet it. You can tweet yourself. There's a whole team of Redskins fans out there that are tweeting all day long. There are thousands and thousands of tweets to choose from, or you can tweet your own and get some retweets. But that's about it. It's simple as that.
who Susie Q is leading the way out there for you, Nick. We know that.
She is.
She is indeed. Let me ask you a question. I mean, Nick, obviously pro athletes have, you know, no matter, you know, what range and salary they are, they have their opportunities to do whatever they want to do with their time and their money. What is it that drives you to be so active in the community, giving back the way you do? I mean, obviously you're getting some spotlight here with the Walter Payton Man of the Year thing, but you're a guy that is constantly out there and involved. What is it that drives you to do that?
That's a good question. I think it goes back, you know, to my mom raising me, and she was a very others first type of person. Just so seeing that so much growing up, kind of instilled that in me. And then when I first got to Washington, I had some really, really good role models, some older players like Lorenzo Alexander and Lennon Fletcher and Kedrick Golson, guys like that, who were always out in the community and always bringing guys with them to either their events or the team's events or whatever. And so I just, you know, I learned from those guys, like, hey, when you've got time, go. And, you know, you're going to take more out of it than you think. Meeting people out in the community, meeting kids, doing stuff like that is so much more rewarding than you originally think. It's not a burden. It's not a time waste or anything like that. It really is a lot of fun to go out and try and brighten someone's day.
Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is given annually, and it's a huge honor for players. You know, basically, it means that you were chosen among every player in the National Football League as having done either the most or the best in the community, although I hesitate to say that because everyone else who doesn't win the award, that's a finalist for their team. They're 32. Every team gets one rep, and Nick Sundberg is the Redskins rep in the chase for the Walter Payton Man of the Year this year. Did such amazing work. So we've talked about Loads of Love on the show a bunch of times, Danny and I, and you've been on the show and even talked about it in the past. But for either new listeners or people not familiar, the reason you got nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, and again, the hashtag on Twitter is hashtag WPMOY Challenge, is because of what you've done for Loads of Love. Can you tell people that don't know what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So Loads of Love is a program that my wife, Flora, and I helped start through the Redskins Charitable Foundation. We install washers and dryers into schools and nonprofits all over the DMV. With a focus on helping kids who are either, you know, in and out of, you know, unstable living conditions or possibly homeless, giving them an opportunity to do their laundry at school. And every location runs their program a little bit different. Some schools have PTA members volunteer to come in and do laundry. Some schools have front office members or teachers on their off periods doing it. Some schools, student councils volunteer to do laundry for other kids in their school. And what we've seen is a giant increase in attendance, participation, confidence, you know, participating more in after-school activities because, you know, now they've got their uniforms and all those things to be washed at school. And so it's been a lot of fun. We started with 5 locations in 2017, I believe. And by the end of this school year, actually right now, our 91st location should be just finishing up.
That's amazing. All 32 nominees, by the way, receive a donation of up to $50,000 in their name to the charity of their choice. And the winner of the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award receives a $250,000 donation to the charity of the choice.
Nick, and what's Skins been... fans can help him get $25,000 if they just hashtag right now.
Right, from the fan
vote. WPMOY Challenge Sundberg.
Nick, what's the key to have expanded it the way you all have? As you mentioned, you started out with 5. Now you're up to 91. What's been the key in getting the program expanded throughout the area the way you guys have?
To start it off was just the support from the front office and the team. Mr. Snyder matched a $100,000 donation that somebody else, you know, was doing, and that kind of catapulted us into our first, you know, after we piloted in 5, that got us into our first grant program where we were able to open up 42 more locations from there. And then, honestly, just a lot of random fans donating, just kind of hearing about it or seeing it wherever, whether it's through My Cause, My Cleats or seeing me tweet about it or a team, and people, you know, giving their hard earned money to support our program. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Well, the work that you've done is incredible, and your wife, Flora, gets a lot of credit as well as kind of the unsung hero behind the operation. But watching you skyrocket up the polls, man, has been cool. You know, we know you as just kind of Nick, But it's funny, you're competing against guys like Cam Newton and Bobby Wagner and some of these NFL superstars, and you're hanging right there with them. You were up to number two yesterday, as he told you. Cam Newton got a huge jolt. But you're closing in on Kyle Rudolph. You could be back to number two if enough Redskins fans help you out today. So we wanted to make sure we got the word out.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hopefully, I apologize for flooding your timeline. but I'm going to keep doing it until the 12th. So you can vote as many times as you want up until January 12th. That's when the voting closes. And thank you in advance if you guys are out there voting.
Nick, appreciate you, man. Real quick, before I let you go on the football side of things, the news broke, so don't feel awkward about talking about this, but it's out there now from a couple different national reporters that Tressway has got himself a massive extension with the Skins coming that he's going to sign on Monday. I don't know if exactly, you know, how much you've talked to him about it, but just your thoughts on rewarding him for the Pro Bowl year that he just had.
Well, their numbers are a little off, but I think he absolutely deserves it. I think he's outperformed his contract every year he's been here. I think he's absolutely deserving, and what he's put on the field this year, or what he's done on the field this year, kind of speaks for itself. Truss is one of those guys that every year we sit down at the end of the year and go over what we think we did well this year and what we think we need to work on or improve that off season. And he goes into each off season with one or two, three things in mind that he wants to work on. Whether it's the first 5 years of his career he only punted to the right side of the field. So this year, punting left, he's got like six different clubs in the bag, if you want to say, six different punts he's got, and just messing with returners and teams and opposing special teams coaches have no idea where he's going. And so just it's a testament to him as a player and, again, his work ethic to see how much he's grown over the last 6 years. I think I'm so excited for him.
Nick, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you, Tress, and D-Hop. You guys have one of the rare long-time combinations as it comes about in a sport that can be very volatile at those positions. Congratulations on the success and continued success with the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year voting. Appreciate you taking the time for us today.
Of course. Thank you so much, Pete. Grant, you guys have a great day.
You too, buddy. Happy holidays. There's Nick Sundberg on Grant and Danny. Always welcome on this show. Nobody does more good around here than he does. And just, I'll tell you, anytime, I'll speak for myself, but I know for Danny, he's helped Chad with different things. Anytime any of us needs anything for something we're doing, for any kind of charitable endeavor, he's the first guy to volunteer whatever he can, Redskins-wise, memorabilia-wise. He's just a really good dude. We'll talk to Paul Stone, bottom of the hour, and get a preview on tomorrow's college football playoff games. Next, though, we already knew Dwayne Haskins would be out this weekend. It is official. No Terry McLaurin against the Cowboys. I want to hear what Paul Stone thinks about the college football playoff games tomorrow. He's going to join us coming up at 1:30 on this Football Friday.
What a great name.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans.
I'm Paul Stone.
Great name, great insight. He was awesome. We had him on the show a few weeks ago, and he killed it. I love college football guests who sound like they watch a lot of college football. Like, I want either a deep Texas draw or a very southern, like,
so you want
SEC kind of football.
You want a Ryan McGee or a Marty Smith, or like I had yesterday, Wes Durham, when Wes Durham just oozes college football when he talks about
it. If you come on to talk college football and you are from like Southern California and you grew up watching USC and you just sound like the rest of us, it's not as exciting to me. But when Paul Stone comes on, I'm going to tell you right now, this team, I just love that. I want to hear someone like that break down the two big games tomorrow on the slate. But he's so sharp and looking forward to catching up with him. Real quick question for you before we get into Terry McLaurin not playing against the Cowboys. I actually posted a picture on Twitter today. Normally, I reserve my picture posting for Instagram. I'm not big on the Twitter pictures.
Instagram, straight flex.
On the last days of 2019, Anthony Rendon still watches over people wandering about outside of Nationals Park. And it's a picture of the giant Anthony Rendon poster. It's right next to a Ryan Zimmerman poster, by the way, who's also not currently on the roster. Although I think most people think he's going to be re-signed. But unlike Zim, Rendon's already got a new home. He's an Angel. He's not a National. So I ask you this, Pete Medhurst. He was a World Series hero. He was a playoff legend. It's not 2020 yet, so we haven't officially turned the calendar to next season. So maybe you could let that ride for a while. Obviously, he's not still going to be at the ballpark as a big poster when the season starts. But what is the statute of limitations, do you think, on when does that poster have to come down, and does he get replaced with, you know, Juan Soto or Victor Robles or Patrick Corbin or somebody of the new core now? Do you have a few more weeks? Is it something you got to do right away? As long as they get it done by opening day, is that fine? What's your thought? He's been an Angel now for a couple of weeks.
Well, look, for something like this where, I mean, there are people coming into the park right now for the enchantment thing and doing the ice skating and stuff like that. But, I mean, as long as this is wrapped up by, like, spring training or something like that, I'm cool with them doing this. I mean, you don't want climbers climbing up there when it's cold and things of that nature. Give them a good weather day and say, hey, it looks like it's going to be in the 50s or 60s next week. Why don't y'all come out and change this one?
So I think because you won the World Series and because of how the end of his era, his tenure was here, I think you could probably let it ride as long as you want to until maybe opening day.
You could.
I don't think you can have people in your ballpark. Exactly. He's not on your team anymore. It's got to be gone. But with Bryce Harper, like the hour that he had signed with the Philadelphia Phillies in the division as a rival, Nats fans were outraged. They were livid. The phones were full with people just irate about his decision. And ironically, and I said this a few times leading up to it, and everyone just kind of said it's incorrect, and I still think it's 100% true, Bryce Harper tried harder to stay here than Anthony Rendon did. I really believe that. In fact, I know that. I mean, Bryce Harper did more in the end to stay in Washington with the Nationals than Anthony Rendon, and because he went to Philly, that was the team with the money that, you know, made the most sense for him and was able to give him the biggest contract. He's going to be hated forever. Rendon goes to the American League, to the Angels, and he'll be beloved forever. Made a better decision in terms of Nats fans' minds not being in the division. It also helps that he won a World Series.
Well, that's the ultimate. What we talk, it's just like we talked about with the Redskins. I mean, people are going to start showing up again if they start winning. Anthony Rendon was on a team that won a World Championship. And despite how hard Bryce Harper played every time he stepped into the box for the Nationals, he didn't deliver that. And that, I mean, it's as simple as that. One guy delivered the trophy, and the other guy did not, period.
True.
End of discussion.
Well, and I think one came off, rightly or wrongly, is more likable all along anyway. But I do think Bryce Harper gets a worse rap than he should for actually wanting to be here. You know, people incorrectly for years basically labeled him as a future Yankee who just wants to go to New York. Well, that wasn't the case. I mean, he went to the team that gave him the top dollar, but he went back to the Nationals and basically said, hey, I'll take that deal you guys offered. And they said, no, we gave $140 million to Patrick Corbin. Rendon didn't do that. In fact, from what I was told, Rendon didn't even call the Nats. Not that they would have done it anyway. It's not like someone with the Nats told me this was like a bad look. But what I was told was he didn't even call and say, hey, I got $7 million and $245 million from the Angels. Do you guys want to match? Harper would have done that 1,000 times over. I mean, but my point is this. He won you a World Series. We love Anthony Rendon. We will forever. But the hour that Bryce signed with the Phillies, they were sending someone up there to take those posters down because the optics just weren't very good.
Correct. He was
I think
a villain.
After the championship.
He became a villain at that point where Anthony Rendon, it's like, oh, that's great, Tony.
Tony,
right.
Our guy. It's
patch
a shame
on the back.
You're not
Enjoy
here.
Yourself in Anaheim.
Real quick on Terry McLaurin not playing against the Cowboys. We knew that you weren't going to get Dwayne Haskins. Without Haskins to watch, you go, okay, that stinks, but at least McLaurin will get a catch for 8 yards in the first quarter, and he'll break the record for rookie receiving that Gary Clark's held since 1985, 3 years before I was born, some 34 years ago or whatever it is now. He's not playing either. Mm-hmm. So you got no Geis, you got no Haskins, you got no McLaurin. I mean, in the secondary, no Landon Collins, no Monte Nicholson, no Fabian Moreau. Josh Norman's going to be so deep on the bench watching guys I've never heard of play corner that you might as well say no Josh Norman. This is looking like a preseason game all of a sudden for the Redskins.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And look, I mean, whenever you have a head injury like Terry McLaurin had, if there's no need to put him out there, then don't, because you don't want to – I mean, as we've seen with some guys, concussion issue becomes a massive problem if you have one, get your bell rung again. I mean, look at what it's done to Jordan Reed's career here in D.C. That's the only example you need to hold up. You've lost your best playmaker – because of concussions through the course of his career, and you don't want to risk anything if you're Terry McLaurin. Do not put a football helmet on until next OTAs, next year. We'll see you next year, Terry. Thanks. It sucks if he has an incentive clause in his contract where if he were to break the rookie record or something and he gets some extra money or something
like
that.
Or get to 1,000. You know, he's knocking on the door of 1,000.
But still, I mean, you know, stinks from that standpoint. But, again, somebody's got to be the adult in the room, as Mike Rizzo said in 2012 with Steven Strasburg. Got to protect players from themselves. Terry McLaurin's a competitor. Probably deep down wants to play if you ask him. But you can't send him out there with a head injury.
Top four teams in college football in the playoffs. They are starting tomorrow. Two games. Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, all in action. Paul Stone will join us next to break those games down. He is one of our favorite resident experts when it comes to the college game. That's next on GND here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Friday, the weekend looms, a holiday weekend ahead. If you're back at work today and listening, thanks much. Driving around, getting a few things done on the hiatus, that's cool too. Always appreciate you checking out Grant and Danny. Pete in for DR today, and it is a football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We've been talking a lot about the skins in the NFL, but let's get to the college level with our guy Paul Stone, at Paul Stone Sports on Twitter. If you're not following him, you should be. College football playoff time. Finally, Paul, we've been waiting for these games. We'll start with game one of the doubleheader tomorrow in the playoffs. The Peach Bowl, a 4 o'clock kick. Number 4, Oklahoma, and number 1, LSU. Handicap this game for me and just how much your opinion on it has changed with the suspensions that the Sooners are dealing with.
Yeah, well, great to be on with you guys. I tell you, a couple of great semifinals, first of all, tomorrow. My opinion definitely has changed, and I think it's clear, especially if you guys saw a little bit earlier, Coach Ed Orgeron has said he expects Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back, who's been dealing with a bum hamstring, to play tomorrow. So that's certainly a big plus for LSU if he, one, is able to go, and two, if he's able to be productive. Oklahoma definitely been more negatively impacted by this rash of suspensions and also an injury in the defensive backfield. So you're looking at OU up front. Ronnie Perkins, their top edge rusher, 6 sacks, 13.5 tackles for loss. He's going to be suspended for this game, along with a couple of other players. And then they find out about a week ago, I think, that starting safety DeLaron Turner Yale, a broken collarbone. This guy's second on the team in tackles with 75 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 3 passes broken up. So you got probably definitely their top edge rusher is going to be out. Their top secondary man is going to be out. They weren't really a great defense, although I think they're improved. They weren't a great defense to begin with. They're facing Joe Burrow. I mean, already completes 78% of his passes. He didn't need much help. So these are two big blows on defense for Oklahoma. Oklahoma, with Perkins, they ranked 20th this year in defensive sack percentages. So as far as the number of pass plays, the percentage of times that they actually sacked the quarterback, Oklahoma got to the quarterback during the season 8.4%. This ranks them 20th. But without Perkins, they're not going to be able to get that kind of pressure. So this definitely takes a little bit of momentum out of the Oklahoma side. One thing I like about Oklahoma, you look at offense, Jalen Hurts, their quarterback, clearly a running quarterback, over 1,200 rushing yards this year. I think he averaged maybe over 8 yards a carry, 18 rushing touchdowns. That's kind of been LSU's kryptonite on defense, if you will. Running quarterbacks, if you kind of flip back to the Ole Miss game a few weeks ago, Mississippi had 614 total yards against LSU, 402 of those yards on the ground, 212 of those yards by true freshman quarterback John Rhys Plumlee on 21 carries, scored 4 rushing touchdowns, did Plumlee. So this shapes up as a game in which Hurts could hurt the LSU Tigers. I liked Oklahoma probably to keep it within a couple of touchdowns before the injuries. I've certainly waned as far as my enthusiasm on that side. But I still kind of lean, as far as the betting aspect of it, I still kind of lean towards the Sooners. Lincoln Riley, in his third season at OU, been an underdog only twice previously. If you'll remember, I think it was week 2 of the 2017 season, they went to Columbus, beat Ohio State as a 7-point road underdog. And then last year in the semifinals, rallied to cover against Alabama in that semifinal loss, 45-34. I believe they were a 13.5-point underdog. So Riley's been very productive in the role of the underdog, although a small sample size. Not a heavy lean, but I'll still say take Oklahoma plus the generous points over LSU.
Paul, while that game seems to have offensive fireworks written all over it, the other game is analytically the complete opposite, with two of the best defensive teams in the country analytically, with Ohio State and Clemson, who have given up two teams have given up the fewest points in the country this year. Does that game live up to that billing, where we will see a low scoring game between the Buckeyes or the Tigers, or are both offenses just so good that each team probably does get 3 or 4 scores against what I think will clearly be the better of the two games coming up on Saturday?
Well, I tell you, looking at it again from a handicapping perspective, the line maker thinks these offenses are, I guess, superlative to the defenses, because the betting total right now is 63,
yeah,
which is pretty high. You know, your typical college football game on average yields 55 points. So they've got this one at 63, two very productive offenses and two very stout defenses as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. And what a matchup. I mean, these are two blue blood programs. You know, Clemson, I think they've earned the designation, although their history, their rich history is more recent than Ohio State's. But I think they certainly qualify as a blue blood now. So these are just two great programs. They have no clear weaknesses. They're just great football teams. And on this one, I think they could play 20 times and one team might win 11, or they both might win 10. I think they're that closely matched. Sometimes these games don't live up to the billing in terms of the competitiveness of the game, but I think this one has an opportunity to be a close game and to be everything that we envision it to be. You know, I just don't really have – I wish I had a better answer, because it's not good radio. You know, you could say Clemson because they've been here before. And they're a great football team. They've handled their schedule in such impressive fashion, just overwhelming opponents, with the exception of the narrow escape at North Carolina, where they won 21-20. And then Ohio State, I mean, they've played a superior schedule. They've maybe just a little bit stubbed their toe and showed some defensive vulnerability in their last couple of games. But that's still a great defense over there with Chase Young, edge rusher, and offensively, what Justin Fields has done, and J.K. Dobbins, the tailback, great receivers, certainly something to point out. I don't know if I buy it when a quarterback or a coach has some player speak or coach speak, so to speak. But Justin Fields pronounced the other day that his knee's only 80 or 85%. I don't know for sure if that's true or not. I don't know what advantage he would have putting that out into the marketplace. But if so, you know, that could be a serious issue for Ohio State's offense. They certainly rely on his mobility to extend plays and to make plays. But I'm not so sure. I bet you when he comes out and he plays on Saturday, I might be wrong, but I bet you he's going to look like he's 100%. I think Justin Fields will be ready to play. This is going to be a great football game.
So who would you, if you had to bet, takes on LSU for the title then?
You know, I would lean towards Ohio State. I think Ohio State, you know, as great as Clemson's been and as great as their defense has looked, and not to knock the ACC, but they just haven't been tested. It's hard to know exactly who they are. We know they're a great football team, but how great is Clemson? Because they just have not had many legitimate tests, because there's nobody in their league that can match up with them. So I think Ohio State's a little more battle-tested And I just so slightly leaned to Ohio State, but it wouldn't, you know, surprise me at all. But with if I had to make a selection, I'd say Ohio State.
Any of the other games tomorrow that you like a whole lot that you're particularly intrigued by or think could be classics right away?
Well, you know, I'm certainly intrigued by the Memphis Penn State game. You know, if it was an early season college football game with the same personnel available for both teams, you know, I would probably be heavily inclined to support Penn State. But you guys know the bowl season is a different animal. The combatants can be can enter with entirely different levels of enthusiasm. And I'm not going to say Penn State doesn't care about this football game, but it certainly means more to Memphis's program if they were to get a victory over Penn State than vice versa. My enthusiasm on this one's waned a little bit as far as the Memphis side because they've got a couple of key players injured, most notably their top cover cornerback, T.J. Carter. He's in his third year, a third-year starter, all-conference his previous two seasons. He's out with injury, and he would be the guy who would be assigned to K.J. Hamler. And Hamler, as you know, is Penn State's, in my mind, really their only big-time playmaker, and he is a big-time playmaker. And he would have been a handful for Memphis, even if Carter were healthy. And now they have to go up against this guy without their top cover corner. They're also going to be without their playmaking tight end, Joey Magnifico, who's got one of the best names in all of college football, but he's out as well. And he's a guy who tends to show up and make some plays in big games. So that, you know, that takes a little bit of starch out of the Memphis side, but I'm really interested in this game. The line right now is 7. I would still kind of lean towards Memphis in that game. Don't have a huge opinion on it, but I'm really interested in that game. And if we've got time, do we have time for one more?
Yeah, you can squeeze it in. We got about a minute left.
Okay, good deal. Notre Dame and Iowa State, a very intriguing matchup there in the Camping World Bowl there in Florida. You look at Iowa State, first of all, they won 7 games this year in the Big 12. But if you look more closely at their schedule, they only beat one team, that being the Texas Longhorns, that qualified for a bowl game this season. And if you remember that game, Iowa State needed a 36-yard field goal on the game's final play to beat Texas. They were only Iowa State. Only 1-5 against teams in Jeff Sagarin's top 30 this year. They were close, though. I think a couple of those games, I take that back, 3 of those games, those losses in that 1-5 mark were by 1 or 2 points and then another by 7 points. So they were close a lot, but they were 1-5 against top 30 teams. You look at Notre Dame, I just think they're a little bit better than Iowa State. I think their roster's a little deeper across the board. After Notre Dame got lambasted by Michigan 45-14 at the Big House midseason, they won their final 4 or 5 games. They covered 4 of those games, the final 4 games. Iowa State might be a little more excited about being here, but I just think Notre Dame's a better football team. They're favored by 3.5. I think the Irish win by a touchdown over Iowa State tomorrow.
Paul, excellent info as always. We love having you on. We get smarter when you talk college football. Enjoy the weekend. I think it'd be cool to sit there in the recliner next to you and watch you watch these games, but that's not in the cards this weekend. Enjoy it.
One of these days we'll get together, guys, and I appreciate you guys having me on, and everybody have a great weekend of college football.
You too. There's Paul Stone. Check him out on Twitter.
Imagine sitting at Charlestown Races and Slots with him out at the casino.
Love it.
And just sit there watching the games as we're betting all afternoon.
At Paul Stone Sports on Twitter. Yeah, he can come up to the window, help us make our bets. Grant and Danny, Pete in for Danny on the Fan. Thanks to Pete for hanging out today. He is hitting the road, has an obligation on this holiday weekend, filling in for Danny. And Danny will be back in the saddle on Monday. We'll be back to full strength here on G&D. It is a Football Friday. We're presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. If you missed Nick Sundberg or Carl Hagelin on the show earlier today, you got to go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio and grab the podcast. Of course, the easiest and maybe best way at this point to listen to any part of the show, though, is our rewind function on the 24-hour radio.com rewind app that we've got. So if you miss an interview, you miss Sundberg talking about trying to be the Walter Payton Man of the Year, you just go to radio.com. You don't have to miss another moment. Download the app, select our station, rewind up to one day ago at the same time and catch everything the way you want it, when you want it, on demand. One note and some news out of Redskins Park for you really quickly. Adrian Peterson was named the Media's Good Guy Award winner this year. I think this is one of those things fans kind of just, you know, they see it in their Twitter timeline or they see a blurb about it in the paper and they rush right past it. This kind of stuff matters a lot to me. He is a professional off the field. He understands the obligation of the media and their importance and relevance in the bigger picture process. As a veteran in the locker room, it's particularly vital that you teach some of the younger guys in your building, in your locker room, as a leader, you know, how to best handle and deal with media pressures and scrutiny and intensity, and that the questions are very good and everyone's very nice when you're winning, and they can be the opposite of that and tough and difficult at times when you're losing. And I think he, as a guy who's been around the league for so long, certainly understands that, but he was awarded today the good guy plaque from the Redskins media in the locker room, and he's well-deserving, and it's not too shabby that at 34 years old, he's got 820 rushing yards as well. Here he is again, playing in every game this year, Mr. Durability. Now, he did not play in week one, but that wasn't based on health. Remember, he got deactivated in that game by Jay Gruden. Since then, though, he has carried the mail for the Redskins. Darius Geis got hurt in the first game, and he has been the focal point of their offense since. It's not like he's had an unbelievable year. I mean, he averages 4.1 yards per carry, which is very average, but he is available. He is willing to take the football, and on an offense and for a team where it seems like everyone drops like flies. You don't have your quarterback. You don't have your starting wide receiver. You don't have your top running back as far as the young speed guys go. Adrian Peterson's always there, and he'll be there again in Week 17 against the Cowboys for a game we've been talking about. It doesn't have a whole lot of relevance, but you know, perhaps he goes crazy and gets up over 900 or 950 rushing yards for a second straight season in Washington. He has under contract next year and could be back for the second year of a two-year deal with the Skins. I'll be curious to see if they bring him back, only because you will have Geis coming back from injury. Not that you can count on him staying healthy, but you'll have Bryce Love returning as well. Two guys who both have had some pretty serious injury history recently who are going to be needing carries as young developing backs. Chris Thompson is a free agent. And the running back position, if you're just trying to find someone who can come in here and average, you know, 3.9 to 4.1 yards per carry, you could do that on the cheap. But they would lose something majorly in the locker room, going back to the award he won today, if Peterson is indeed out. Big news of the day on the injury front is that it's official, no Terry McLaurin on Sunday with the concussion symptoms that cropped up on him a couple of days after his big catch. He suffered the injury leaping on the sideline with that massive grab to move the chains to keep the drive alive for the Redskins as they went down and tied the Giants to go to overtime. It was one of those scary-looking catches at the time where he landed hard on his helmet on the field, and you thought maybe he got dinged, but he was right back out of the blue tent and onto the field for the end of the drive and the two-point conversion play. But within a couple of days after the game, he realized something was amiss, and he's going to shut it down as he should and not play in Week 17. Lay of the land tonight, you got the Capitals in action against Columbus. Ilya Samsonov will be in net as they try to throw a changeup at the Blue Jackets, who have absolutely had their number over the last, not just two games this season, but seven times these teams have played. The Blue Jackets have won six of those games against the Capitals. And just a ratio that shouldn't be the case based on the quality of these two teams. Wizards are off until tomorrow when they host the Knicks in D.C. at Capital One Arena. Enjoy the college football tomorrow, including the two playoff games and the NFL on Sunday. Happy holidays to all of you. Big thanks to Sean and Tom for working hard on the show today. For Pete, I'm Grant saying so long. Thanks for listening to 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.